This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The Z Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Central Bank, City of Hope, Conet Bahamas, Dunkin' Donuts, Tender Tao, Print Masters, RF Banking Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Wednesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today, this very rainy day. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. Today, I have as my very special guest, Senator Darren Hemphill, Free National Movement Senator and former Cabinet Minister and Member of Parliament. We're going to talk about a number of things. Good day and welcome, Senator.
Good day, Minister Lang. It's a pleasure to be with you on the show today.
It's good to have you. But I need to, as Ingram used to say, to bell this cat before we get to talking. All right?
Absolutely.
I don't care if you hear it from Impress, Express, Depress, or Unpress. Any suggestion that Trivago Sean Lang, born September 7, 1967, is going to be running in any constituency for any party in the upcoming general election is not only mistaken, it is an outright direct lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. So I want to make that very clear. My name will not appear on any ballot for any party at any time in the next general election. So I don't care if you heard from Impress, Express, Depress, or any press. It is a lie. I have no desire to run. I'm not running. And so I don't want anybody to spread any lies. Secondly, those of you who are hurt by any words spoken about Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, who you support him, because your feelings are hurt, your lies also will not mean much to me. I say no more. Senator, welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Welcome. I don't see. I have a professional life. I have other responsibilities that I do not require and need lies to be hanging over my head.
I might say to you, though, Trivago, that I am disappointed to hear your response.
Understood. I understand
that. That you're not running, I mean, or seeking office in any political party.
I understand that.
I believe you still have so much to offer the Bahamian people, but you use your platform objectively.
I'm available to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas out of office. At any time.
And we appreciate and thank you for that.
And none of us are going to be served by lies.
No.
Okay?
No.
And I don't want people to be clear about this because this is very serious. All of us in public life, whether we are in frontline politics or we are in other aspects of public life, are oftentimes the subject of lies.
Yeah.
And it is awful. You are an evil, wicked person if you spread things that you know not to be true, or you have not verified yourself about other people, you are spreading lies and you are participating in wickedness.
It is quite unfortunate that when we present ourselves for public service and by way of politics, that we open up ourselves and our families for abuse.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
I read some things that people say, and I wonder if they really know who Darren Henfield is.
This is how some of these people are paid people. Can I tell you this? They are paid operatives. Okay, they make their money this way. They make their money by being covert persons for people. And some of them are playing both sides of the fence. They get paid from people on both sides.
Yeah.
And as long as they are paid, they will spread any lie or any rumor that suits their purpose. All right? And that's why I will, thank God for this platform. I'll put an end to life. I was tired answering people. People calling me up. Oh, man, you ain't tell me nothing. You ain't tell me. I had nothing to tell you. to tell you. Because Shivago Sean Lang is not. Do you all remember that I said on this show that if you see me appear on a ballot in the next election, you have a right to vote against me? I said that on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be clear about my intention. Right, I'm not interested, and I am not running in any election coming up.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, because what such behavior does is dissuades good people who really, I believe, have something to offer the country, who would otherwise not expose themselves to this type of abuse.
Yeah.
But some of us soldier on. I don't know if
you are nationalistic, so you're trying to serve the country.
Yeah.
This text of Mr. Lang, I was going to ask you the same question if you were planning to run, because I saw multiple communications about you running. Glad you cleared that up. Yeah, I'm glad I cleared it up too, because oh my God, Facebook and WhatsApp and what have you, oh, the lies could spread like wildfire on those things, man. Oh my goodness. And we have itchy ears, some of us, to spread lies and try to distort. You know, I read on Facebook, someone said, this is someone defending Hubert Alexander Minnis, one of his supporters.
Uh-huh.
Said, oh, Shivago Lang was unemployed, and Minnis gave him a job as the chief negotiator for the WTO, and that's how he was able to catch himself. But first of all, mm-hmm. First of all, brother, you were in that administration.
Yeah.
When I was offered the role of chief negotiator, I was working. I signed a contract to work at the University of the Bahamas, and I was working at the University of the Bahamas, unconnected to the government of the Bahamas. The job was unconnected, had nothing to do with the government of the Bahamas. Secondly, the job came with a stipend of $30,000. One-time payment, $30,000. You know what I asked him to do with it? I asked him to write a check to the University of Bahamas. That's what happened. I didn't collect one dime from being the chief negotiator for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I did all of that.
Well,
for free.
You got off lightly. It was written that I was found dragging slippers and. Well, a career military officer, you know.
From time to time, I just drag my slippers though. From time to time, I go to the food store, and all I have is my slippers on.
Yeah,
and I love that I could be so relaxed at home and in my country. Sometimes I get my short pants on and my T-shirt.
Yeah, all you need is that old straw hat.
Old straw hat.
Yeah.
But Senator, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. Thank you for your patience in allowing me to clear up that little nonsense, dog. Right?
Good to be here.
Yeah. So, Senator, firstly, it would appear that the administration has some positive developments taking place. The GDP. BNSI GDP results show a 3.4% growth in 2024. And by any standard, that is really good growth for the country. Now, qualitatively speaking, we can always speak to that, but I'm saying it's high growth. The government has just announced a signing. I think the signing is going to happen today in Grand Bahama for the sale and redevelopment of Alukaya. Mm-hmm. And there are some other things we are being told that are in the works. How do you see developments in the country insofar as both the governance and the economic progress of the country is concerned?
Okay, that's a very heavy question out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Let me deal firstly with how I see things with the improvement in the economy, the projected improvements in the economy. Mm-hmm. Bahamians, we all very, and despite us being in opposition, you know, under the leadership of Michael Pintard, we have settled not to criticize the government simply for the sake of being critical. But if the government is doing something positive that inures to the benefit of Bahamians, we applaud that. The projected growth in our economy is welcome news. The only issue is that Bahamians, by and large, from Inagua and Matthewtown to Grand Key and Abaco, and right here, even in the city, over the hill in Grantstown and Bainstown, are not feeling that growth. When they go to the, and unless you have real tangible manifestation of that growth in the pockets and in the homes of the single mom, the struggling family that is trying to exist in a very challenged economy, it means very little to them. So it's sort of a pedantic argument. It's academic, really. Mm-hmm. To have such an argument with people who are yet struggling to survive. Alukaya is good news.
Before you go on to Alukaya, Senator, let me just say to your point, because sometimes people might also not make the connection. Even we in economics know that it is possible for you to have growth in an economy, and that growth could be jobless, meaning it's not really soaking up large numbers of unemployed. That is possible. It could be, the quality of it could be such that it's financial, meaning that it is accruing to places where maybe the financial institutions and those are realizing it, but not so much the people on the ground. And sometimes, even where there's progress for people on the ground, because of the regress over time before, that progress doesn't seem as much because people are kind of catching up and not catching up as much as they would need to say, I feel better about things.
Precisely. Until that growth, Reagan used to have something called, they named trickle-down
economics.
Until that growth trickled down into the food store prices. Into the housing and healthcare challenges that we face, into the minimum wage that the government touts that it increased and very readily returned to the public coffers through taxation, through some other means. Until that happens, Bahamians will continue to be in the condition that they're in, struggling, by and large, the majority of us find it difficult to survive in this economy. It is not easy, as they say, on the road. It is not easy. Now, as relates to Alukaya,
which, by the way, the signing is tomorrow, not today. It's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. It is a wonderful thing that 4 years since our departure almost from office, where we left in place somewhat of an agreement to have Alukaya sold. And we were criticized to high heavens for trying to hold on to Alukaya. The deal was criticized, but we realized that the death of Alukaya in the area of Port Lukaya would have meant the death of that area, and the straw vendors and others who, and taxi drivers and others who depended on that marketplace to survive would have gone the way of the wind very readily. And it brings us to this point where the government, after deciding to cancel the deal that we had, you heard DOD Agler talk about it the other day, and let's stick a pin right there. Talking about the economy, it's like saying you got 10 million tourists coming, right? 10 million tourists coming through the port of Nassau, and that is not hitting the straw market because they go back to the ship for every meal, for every drink, and for everything else, right? And so we had to save Alukaya, and we hope that the government sees this as an opportunity not just for jobs, but for an opportunity for participation by Bahamians in the economy of Grand Bahama. We want, Bahamians want, and I speak as a Bahamian who does not believe myself to be a career politician, that Bahamians want participation in their patrimony. And I listened to a couple of pundits on a show the other night who knows Grand Bahama quite well and Alukaya quite well. And their main thing was they don't understand what is going to happen. They're happy that something is going to happen, like all Grand Bahamians and Bahamians must be, but they don't know what's going on. They had not been a part of the consultation or consultative process that brought us to this point. And I believe that's where governments in the future in the Bahamas have to move. Bahamians that are directly involved in certain industry and otherwise must be a part of the discussion, right? So that the man in Alukaya who sells the straw hat, who sells the T-shirt, the one who wants to run a native restaurant or something else, souvenirs, should be a part of the discussion because this is actually his patrimony that we're selling. And we shouldn't do it in a vacuum. And that's been the observation over the years. We come into government, we feel we know everything, and we don't consult the people who sent us there to do work on their behalf anymore.
Is your suggestion that had there been sufficient follow-through on a proposal that was left in office, that by now Alukaya 1 would have been sold and perhaps redeveloped and functioning?
I think it's safe to assert the same, because I thought we left on the table a deal that was worth doing. And then, you know, all deals can be questioned. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. But in the moment, we were under tremendous pressure, having dealt with so many different things like COVID and of course the dreaded Dorian, to have something moving in Grand Bahama. The economy of Grand Bahama needs to move. The economy of Grand Bahama, we believe, is very important to the economy of the Bahamas. And I used to tease my colleagues with them, and I was the lone one from Abaco in the cabinet, and I said, and then, you know, the economy of Grand Bahama is not doing as well as the economy of Abaco. And Peter Turnquist always took umbrage to that, you know. And he asked me, why would you say that, Darren? I said, well, we get more flights in a day than you get in a week. We also need to know how the sale of Alukaya is going to impact the airport. What is happening with the airport? We need airlift into Grand Bahama. We often saw Grand Bahama, and we talked about this a little. We saw Grand Bahama as a potential hub into Latin America, not only through shipping, but always even through airlines. You know, you have in Atlanta, Delta, and them have these large hubs that can move economies. And we see Grand Bahama as such. And an industrial mecca in the Bahamas, which has some of the finest infrastructure in the country, which was properly designed to do so.
Well, I mean, we don't know all the details yet. I share with you the belief that an announcement about a signing to take place is good news. The investor seems like a credible investor, and like you, I believe any movement for Grand Bahama is good news for both Grand Bahama and the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Airlift is going to be the key factor, we believe. We wait to see what's going to happen with the airport.
I'd be surprised if there's not an announcement for the airports in the offing. In any event, what would take place at Alukaya will not be a 2 month, 3 month, 4 month, 5 month, 6 month proposition, to my mind. It will not be. There may be some aspects of it that could come into operation sooner rather than later, but any substantial redevelopment of that property will take some time. And so I believe that will creep near into the next election or even after. So whether the present administration wins or the former administration wins, I do not see either neglecting or ignoring a new airport for Grand Bahama. Don't see it.
Absolutely. You know, we have an axiom in the Navy. I'm a professional naval officer, mm-hmm, in my other life, mm-hmm, that big ships turn slowly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to put on the wheel incrementally.
Right, yeah.
When you decide to change course and go in the opposite direction, and I accept your point.
Yeah, and you want it to be done right. And you want it to be done right. You don't want it to be done fast. You want it to be done right.
Exactly. Right. It must be done right. You know? And the people of Grand Bahama, through the processes, through, it's not just this current administration. I like to be honest in my discourse.
We have not
gotten everything right either.
First of all, when it comes to Free Park Grand Bahama, as I said on the show that you are saying right now, Ingram didn't do it in his third iteration.
Mm-hmm.
Christie didn't do it. Minnis didn't do it. And it has not yet been done by Davis.
Right. And so Davis has an opportunity at the outset here with the signing in particular, and if we can hear the details, the minutiae, what's in the details of the signing. He has an opportunity to do something that has not been done in 50 years.
Not 50.
60.
No, man, no, don't forget now. Grand Bahama has such a boom in the 90s.
Right.
That the unemployment rate in Grand Bahama fell to 6.7%. It has not been seen generations before and hadn't been seen since.
You're right.
Aldukaya came on stream. That's when the shipyard came on stream. That's when the container port came on stream, amongst other things.
Absolutely.
It was the 90s. Grand Bahama's economic downfall sustained has been since 2020, 2021.
I remember, Shivago, going to Grand Bahama as a seaman on some of our patrol boats, and the booming and bustling downtown Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
You could go into any one of the hotels and enjoy a good meal and ambiance and have a good run ashore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we need to see Grand Bahama return.
We almost it looked like y'all in Abaco, because you know y'all believe y'all is people down there in Abaco. Show y'all self off, you know.
Absolutely. We in Abaco believe we are unique.
But you are. But to be frank, you are, and Exuma to some degree, have an exceptionalism in their economic sustainability that is reflected in the robustness and stability of that second home market they have had for years.
Yes. Might I add to that, one of the reasons why we have been so resilient through the years is that we have not, prior to 1992, we did not depend on government for much. We have a very industrious commercial sector in Abaco. We always find a way to work together.
Let me burst your bubble, man. So
go ahead,
because you know you're
ahead,
on a show off. Let me show you.
Yeah.
You're right though. There was always an independent mindset, an industriousness about Abaconians. But it was undergirded by the fact that y'all did the right set of things in a track. You know, listen to me, and you know this. I mean, I'm telling somebody who knows this. You guys have people. International people with means who were coming to your island year after year after year for extended periods of time that was essentially other residents of that place.
Absolutely.
And that created an economic stability that could feed the industriousness and independence of Abaconians, and they used it well.
Absolutely. We were doing so well at one point in the 80s that Treasury Key developed its own currency, believe it or not. You had to go and trade your monies for Treasury Key currency to go into Treasury Key, because we had a European market in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, early into the 80s almost, that second homes in Treasury Key. You know, the Bahamas, we have perpetual summers.
So we now have
Baker's Bay, and we're looking to do some more things in the southern part of the Bahamas, in the southern part of Abaco, around Sandy Point, hole in the wall in that area. We're looking forward to that with bated breath. We know we have Treasury Key on the table, ready to move as well.
This Texas say y'all just showing off. That's what you're doing, showing off.
Yeah.
Senator, we have to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm here with FNM Senator Darren Henfield. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians and for as little as Bahamas Government Saving Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.1 all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We are here speaking with Free National Movement Senator, Senator the Honorable Darren Henfield. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Senator, one of the things that I have often heard members of the opposition say against the administration is that it is not an accountable or transparent administration. Why do you say that?
Because if you have, and we hear it often, and we see it manifested, if you have an administration that will go into, for instance, the Exumas and put down mooring buoys without going through the environmental processes, you have an administration that just announced recently and withdrew $183 million. Only money bills has to go to Parliament to be discussed, man, and approved, right? This one is different in that there was a contract that they were doing. You have an administration that $183 million to pave 8 miles of road in West End, Grand Bahama. You have an administration that has made payment to settle legal issues that refuses to tell the Bahamian people what they use, how much money they gave to these people, right? You have an administration that came to office after voting in support of a procurement bill that refused to follow the law and then turned around and brought another bill that they still simply refused to follow in many instances. It goes single source bidding, you know, to go single source. But you must explain why. Mm-hmm. It is not a difficult thing. Perhaps we want to stand up a company akin to striping that can build roads, and we want we want to start out a nascent company in that way, and that the behemoths will accept that, you know. Behemoths just need to know what you're doing with their monies. This government has proven itself to be most undemocratic. It does not answer questions on question day, and you know what the answer is? Or you all have answered questions, but there were some of us that stood on our feet immediately. We didn't wait until the question day when it's to answer questions. And we answered questions about our ministry.
But your record on answering questions was not stellar.
I'm telling you, the record was not stellar, but some of us had stellar records.
I understand that, but I mean, as an administration and as a group, I think that the record was not.
But you know, Shivago, what I say to that is why governments are fired.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's oftentimes to me the thing is that, okay, when you say y'all didn't do this, but just remember we got fired, that's why you should do better.
So you ought to be now in a position almost 4 years in, just months from 4 years in, to run on your record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not still running on the 8 year ago promises of the F&M that we failed to complete.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we had challenges with Dorian and COVID, right? But we stood up a tremendous feeding program. We were able to get school going, despite kids not being able to go to school. We kept every public servant on the payroll when other countries were letting them go. We kept tourism going by pumping in monies to hotels and other places to keep behemoths at work. You know, we didn't get everything right, Shivago, but under the circumstances. But what scares me most, and I say this to my colleagues opposite every time almost I stand up in the Senate, is they have not yet been challenged. And it is very difficult for me to see that grandiose thing that they have done that will anchor this particular administration.
So there's no significant administration for.
Well, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Alukaya, of course. But you know, I was in Abaco when they cut the ribbon on the bridge that we built after the storm. I was at the port where they cut the ribbon on the port that we built, which they brag about bringing in 10 million tourists. People could call in and tell us what they did. You know, maybe I'm biased. I don't know.
Nothing. You don't regard cutting VAT from 12% to 10% a significant accomplishment?
Well, it is significant, but if you put VAT to 100% on breadbasket items, on medicines, on insurance, and you reduce it on sales of property over $2 million, you negate what you're trying to do for the Bahamian people.
Mm.
People have to pay now VAT on medicines.
Mm.
Women have to pay VAT on personal hygiene products. Babies have to pay VAT on parents. Have to pay VAT on what they do for their babies.
Mm.
You know, we have a healthcare challenge in this country. Why do you want to dissuade people from buying insurance by adding VAT to that insurance?
Mm.
You know, we have too many challenges. I mean, so if you want to impress us about VAT, we have promised in the next Pintar administration that we will remove VAT from healthy foods, right? Because we obviously have a problem
from healthy foods or from bread basket items, or only the healthy foods and the bread basket items.
Bread basket items and healthy foods, we'll add to that as well. Mm-hmm. I believe that is what we have promised.
Okay, not we moving on medicines and them kind of things. You didn't promise that.
Oh, absolutely, okay. We'll return to that. We don't we don't need old folks or young folks who can manage going into the pharmacy and having to add VAT onto their
medicine. Y'all can keep VAT. Y'all can keep VAT on funeral services too. I think I remember when I paid the bill for my family for my mother's funeral. I believe the VAT was close to $1,000.
I never even considered that.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, so I remember having the discussion at the funeral home. I said, boy, in people's hour of greatest grief, and for some people, financial desperation, they really got to struggle to pay VAT, too.
We're going to revisit this whole thing of VAT. And you know, we were on Long Island the other day where we had a very, what I call an illuminating discussion with a businessman, who really challenged us to ask, why do we make it so difficult for startup businesses, for people to get businesses going in the Bahamas when small businesses, we know the impact of them on the economies, where they provide jobs, they provide growth in the economies, they provide the opportunity for industry by Bahamian individuals who can do it. So why don't we just ask them for what they need to start their businesses and then get on the tail end some of those taxes that we believe businesses ought to be paying after an agreed period of time. These are the kind of things that we believe will inspire business in our economies.
We have to take another break, pay our respects to our sponsors, and then we will come back. Senators, ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Senator the Honorable Darren Henfield. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. You're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134.20 a rule. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50, 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home, expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. Cold or warm, saying you know that you're not alone. Holla if
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM as we are having a conversation with Free National Movement Senator, the Honorable Darren Henfield. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259 is another number. That's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Senator, as you continue to participate in the parliamentary process, the legislative process, continue to function as a member of the opposition, what are the other things that concern you about the country at the moment that you think Bahamian people should be aware of?
It is curious that you mentioned the legislative process. This government has passed, this administration has passed many, many laws. And like the issues that we have in the economy, these issues that we have continue to persist. For instance, we passed a bill that sought to address gang violence and crime, and we know we've heard nothing from that. The current administration continues to say, you know, the minister in particular, not to single him out, but he is the Minister of National Security, say that, you know, we allow the police and the defense force to do their jobs. Well, you know, in a democracy, there is something called security forces, security services. And under this administration, all we've gotten, and I intend to be sarcastic, is in the first iteration, they had whistles. And now we have body cams that they want tourists to wear on jet skis instead of regulating these very important areas to our tourism product. Far better than we have seen in the Bahamas and in Bahamians in this country. Crime, they're unsafe. They feel unsafe. Our communities feel unsafe. We had no less than the deputy commissioner, one of the deputy commissioners of police, robbed at gunpoint the other day. And then they say, you know, we can't make crime a political issue. Well, politicians are hired to help solve the challenges that a country faces. And politics is about choices. I think we need to double down, look at how we deal and treat with these young people who find it more favorable to enter gangs than it is to be productive members of society. And we believe we can do so if we engage the churches, if we engage NGOs to help us in this regard. When you and I were growing up, we went to Sunday school at least three times a day. You know, we went in the morning, we had another service, and then we went in the afternoon. We don't have that in the Bahamas anymore. I'm not saying that we're going to go back there, but that there would be a nice place to go. But we have to find something to occupy our young people, their minds differently, to let them know that this is your country. And it is tragic the way we see young men being slaughtering young black Bahamian men on a daily basis almost in this country. And those are some of the things that we must look at. We must look at how we treat with healthcare. There is no way in a modern Bahamas in the 21st century that people are still lining the walls of our... And I don't know which iteration of the Ingram administration it was. I don't know if it was 97 or 92. That administration, an F&M administration, put very nice clinics, large clinics, throughout strategic places, as it did with post offices and police stations, with fire trucks attached, throughout strategic, and that was done with the clinics to somewhat alleviate the burdens that were placed on the Princess Margaret Hospital and the A&E. And we have to find a way to go back there because, you know, there are many traumatic injuries, not only through violence, but also through vehicular incidences that we're seeing. And I think these are some of the things that we have to do. We can't just simply create laws for creating laws' sake. We have to create laws that benefit Bahamians, that solve challenges, the problems that we face. And that's what we aim to do in the next administration if God gives us the opportunity to do so.
You know, though, some Bahamians will respond to what you've said by saying, of course we know we have to do something about crime. We have to do something about some issues in healthcare. We have to do something about any number of these things. But isn't that kind of like the problem?
Yeah.
That the statement being we have to do something about it. The question is what, you know? And so the question is would be whether you and your team are really coming to a place of determining how you will address some of these things which you say are bothering.
Absolutely, absolutely we are. You will see shortly in our manifesto healthcare, how we will revitalize these clinics and strategic locations to ease up some of the burden that we face at the tertiary level healthcare facility we have in Grand Bahama and the Rand and the Princess Margaret Hospital. You will see us talk about how we will engage groups and churches to help change the minds of these young men that see no other way. See no other family.
So let me ask you a question, Senator. If those churches and those groups are in the community now, why can't they change the minds of them young people?
They need the support, Trivago. They need financial support. I look at people like Candy Gibson to single her out, right? And what she's doing with FORM. And there's no reason why we can't, as a government, support her more effectively.
Mm.
I look at Bishop Lawrence Rowell, who keeps a lot of young men off of the streets.
Mm.
And he labors and he calls around Bishop Henschel, right? These kinds of programs are important for the government to support, not just a glancing support, but a deliberate effort to reach these young people.
And the government has less resources at its disposal than the private sector. And so, you know, if these people are going to be abundantly resourced. I know the private sector is doing some things already, but aren't they also better place to support? I mean, the government can do some, but they...
The government needs not engage itself in more bureaucracy. If people are doing things that they do and they're experts at it, the government ought to encourage and support these efforts, you know. But if we can spend $60 million in less than 4 years, we can spend $200+ million on consultants, right? I'm sure we can find some money to help with these organizations,
right,
to help make the Bahamas a better place.
So, you know, and I'm only being the devil's advocate because there are those people who would say, well, Mr. Henfield, you were a minister in that administration, so was Mr. Pintard, and so why would these things not have been done in that administration? And then you're going to say, some people will say, you're going to say, oh, it was the pandemic and so forth. Really? Well, why? You know,
Well, you know, as one who sat in the cabinet, Shivago, you appreciate that in cabinet there are competing interests and competing needs. And we argue ferociously, as you know, about these things and things that we think would better serve from our perspective, the Bahamian people. But at the end of the day, how can one ignore a tragic event like Dorian, which was more than $2 billion in costs? You have to go and replace all of the infrastructure in Abaco. You have to clean up tons and tons, millions of tons of debris. You have to go and get schools back up and running. And then 6 months later, you have a pandemic that causes our bread and butter to shut down. And, you know, people talk about the pandemic in isolation, but the pandemic happened that's why it's called a pandemic. It was a world event. Mm. We live off tourism. And if tourists are unable to travel, then our economy directly suffers as a result of that. So we cannot ignore these things. And then, you know, we had, 4 years and 3 months or so?
Yeah, you cut it short.
Yeah, we did.
You cut it short. you had one more year, you cashed it in.
we did do that. I believe I heard my leader say again, and we're going to get stoicism as a result of it, that we are going to give you a date certain for elections. We're going to give you two two times, certain, you know. And people will ask, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it then? But governments make decisions based on the exigencies of the time and the challenges that we face. You know, I remember asking you as a young Marine, you were a minister. I remember asking you one day at a particular rally. I was hiding incognito, and I said, you know, why aren't you looking at this in the Defense Force? And you said, you know, the exigencies. I was able to go and sit in cabinet and appreciate that better. Your understanding of exigencies. Governments have to do what they deem are absolutely necessary. We got a report back from the IMF. I think it was the Article 4 assessment in 2019 or 2020. We said that the administration moved rightly, in my words, by ensuring the health and safety of people and ensuring that people were fed. They had a means to make a living.
We have a break, a news break to take. When we come back, I got to turn your attention to some politics, some FNM politics. When we come back, we'll look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We are here speaking with Senator, the Honorable Darren Hemphill, FNM Senator, and, you know, we're talking about any number of issues in current. Senator, before I go on to some particular questions I have, let me read some text for you that perhaps you can speak to. This text says, Mr. Lang, would you ask Mr. Darren Hemphill, a former MP for North Abaco, how did he manage in 2021 to lose that predominantly safe FNM seat of North Abaco? Only after one term, a seat the great Hubert Ingram won seven consecutive elections over a period of 35 years from 1977. With all due respect to you, sir, if I were you, I would seriously consider whether or not frontline politics is for me. Respectfully, please give such some consideration.
That's a very fair question. Mm-hmm. But I differ in the view that the seat is a predominantly FNM seat. I believe the seat was predominantly that of Hubert Ingram. Remember this. Hubert Ingram, the Right Honorable Hubert Ingram, won that seat as a member of the Progressive Liberal Party. He again was elected after departing the PLP as an independent candidate.
Which the FNM did not contest.
Mm-hmm. And then thereafter, it's history that he retained the seat. And then in a by-election in 2012, the seat went to the PLP.
Yes.
In 2017, it came back to the FNM. Mm-hmm. And of course, in 2021, I lost the seat. I looked at the numbers. Some of my colleagues in the wave, they called it, lost their seat by far greater numbers with far less challenges than we faced in North Abaco.
Yeah, I don't think that question is an astute political question at all, because South Andras was held by Sir Lyndon Pinling for many, many, many years. And when he retired, the seat mm-hmm. was won by the FNM.
Yes.
It's far too simplistic a analysis.
And then I believe at one point the seat was won by an independent. If I'm not mistaken,
South Andras was.
Sydney Bastian. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So So, you know, a number of things go into losing a seat, but we continue to offer because we believe we have something to offer.
This text also says, good day, Mr. Lang. I'm not sure you read and addressed this text yesterday, or I may have missed it, but I would like your very politically knowledgeable view on this. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with the FNM party constitution, and do believe this also applies to the PLP party constitution. I do believe it's a long-standing rule of both political parties, fringe party COI. So if an election, general election or by-election is called, and a person who is a member of a particular party but nominates as an independent and runs against the party candidate, are you aware he or she is automatically expelled from the party? So if I'm correct, and I do believe it is correct, therefore, if Dr. Minish runs as an independent in the next general election, he is like anyone else who does such thing, is automatically expelled from the FNM. So I think some of it, not many FNMs are hoping he does decide to run as independent against the FNM candidate in the next election to finally be done with him. I believe that text is right. You run against your party, I think that you have automatically expelled yourself from the party.
Absolutely. If you've aligned yourself with another political organization, you are no longer a part of the FNM.
Or not even another political organization, because if you run as an independent.
Yeah, even as an independent, yeah.
Yeah, you run against the party, so you are saying to the party you are against it.
Yes, you are. You know, I'd just like to make a comment about not specifically what was happening in Kalani, about these seats and these constituencies in particular. None of these constituencies belong to any one individual, you know. I happen to have been elected in 2017 as a member of parliament for North Abaco, but that seat, I was elected on an FNM ticket. And so whomever the FNM determines that they will go back to North Abaco or anywhere else and run, that is their prerogative to do so. We don't own any seats. We don't own any constituencies. We are individuals so graced to be appointed. And if we're lucky enough, we're blessed enough, we're elected under the particular banner of a party. It's not your seat. It's the party that puts you forward. Mm-hmm. All right, you don't own any personal seat.
If you could muster a sufficiency of names written on a piece of paper that could be validated as constituents of a constituency, and if you could show me a winning number of them saying we want this person, boy, if I'm a party, I'm gonna rethink you.
Absolutely.
I don't want you, even if I don't think I can run you, I would
Absolutely.
Run you then.
it only makes good sense politically.
Right? So I think any member, any person who says...
Have a show in.
Huh? Yeah, any party member who says, my party has said they won't run me, I am going to go to the constituents and I mean legitimately do it. I don't want to do it just for you. I don't want a PLP supporter who can vote PLP put their name on my paper. Mm-hmm. I want you write on this paper, you will vote for me. And I'll go and show them the paper and say, listen, man, you're sure you won't do this?
Absolutely. Any astute party would have to reconsider it.
Absolutely. This text says, please let Mr. Enfield know that we are still waiting on accountability on how monies from the feeding program and the money that was borrowed, $6 million, the IMF bank, was spent. And please don't say the PLP is in power, because I heard Mr. Pintard is saying the FNM will conduct an independent audit in a number of initiatives this government undertake. Please ask him to start with the two above items mentioned.
The government of the Bahamas has full power to look at any documents, financial or otherwise, to see how things unfolded. Promises were made following, and I remember the UN came here as foreign minister, and we had a pledging conference, right? A lot of pledges were made in the billions, but a lot of that was not in cash, but in kind. So, for instance, you would have an NGO who came into Central Abaco and said, we're going to rebuild the Central Abaco Primary School, refurbish and rebuild it, right? So there, a lot of people came in as NGOs and helped to rebuild homes, you know? So a lot of it was not pure monies in your hand.
But
the feeding program is, I find that peculiar, because I hear the other side, the pundits, most of them playing race games with the feeding program, but the same behemoths who got fed through the feeding program go to a white-owned, behemoth-owned grocery store every day to shop, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that may be mixing apples and oranges.
Well. The thing about it is, though, frankly, there may have been absolutely there may have been poor administration of aspects of the feeding program under the intense circumstance in which the Minister administration found itself. And that's not an excuse, that's just the reality. But y'all got fired.
They got fired.
Okay, so yeah. A new administration, the money was not ministers' money, and the money was not your money. The money was the government's money. And so if the new administration wanted to hold people to account and wanted to produce a report that reflected what happened, it can do so. It is the government of the Bahamas, right?
Absolutely.
I might note, and I can say this to you all, if there is a change in government, I do believe that you all have an obligation, if they do not do so, to do so.
Absolutely, absolutely. Michael Pintard has on more than one occasion publicly indicated that we will have commissions of inquiries into the police force, into its operations and administration, because we are concerned about the level of mistrust that the Bahamian people obviously demonstrate in the force because of obvious reasons. I mean, we've had very senior officers in the force implicated. And commissions of inquiries do more than just seek to punish wrongdoers. You know?
The Commission of Inquiry on the Police Force. And I'm asking you, though, I'm saying to you, having not produced a report and couldn't have produced a report on the feeding program while you were in office because you led office. Yeah.
Yeah. I get into that. And so I said that because we also promised a commission into the events Dorian and post Dorian. Mm. So because the country needs to know, the country needs to appreciate how and what we could have done better, what we did wrong. Right? Obviously, I was in Abaco during the storm. As a former military officer, I thought I could do something to help prevent the loss of life. And thanks be to God, it came in a day, and we were able to open up the government complex when people came pouring out of these communities like rain, and we were able to open up the government complex and find safety for them. And I think in so doing, a lot of lives were saved. These things need to be distilled. I don't believe that administrators, island administrators, after Dorian, ought to be left alone to manage these oncoming or incoming catastrophic events on their own. I believe we need specialists to be placed in these communities that will work along with them and their councils to prepare Bahamians for what is to come. And I also believe that we need, talking about Dorian, I also believe that we need mandatory evacuation laws in the Bahamas, that we will cause people to have to move so we don't have the kind of outcome that we had with Dorian. And so you're quite right. There are many things that we have to look into because it is not only for our edification future, you know, it is for clarification of many myths that have been allowed to, just because people could speak out things.
Yeah,
you know, I saw a fellow on the Facebook the other day saying, after I made a particular comment, saying that all that stuff I stole. You know, come on, man.
I stay driving around with the government money in my little Paso.
Yeah, you know, and here we thousands of units of sheetrock. We helped with the building, the rebuilding of at least six homes where we were able to get people to donate materials for us. Thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars worth of vouchers.
But Senator,
you know, why would I steal from my people?
No, but Senator, with respect, though, and I think you acknowledge this. So I don't know, we expect people to speculate if we will not report. And if we will not credibly report. Now, I'm not suggesting, I'm saying your reporting didn't happen because, you know, shortly after Dorian, you had the pandemic, and then you cash in a year, and so you lost office. The other people that came in sought to be, and I'll be frank, they sought to be political about it. They sought to be political about the commentating on it and all that kind of stuff. The one, I don't think there was ever a serious effort to produce a report on the matter. Never.
No.
Because if you can engage, auditors to do this and auditors to do that, to do a credible report, that man, there's bodies to be able to produce a credible report. And whether the report said this one thief, the next one mishandled, who cares? As you said, and you said it, and this is true, commissions of inquiries, any inquiry exists in public life because people ought to know.
People ought to know.
Want
to
know.
Yeah. People ought to know, you know?
Yeah.
And Dorian had been politicized. COVID had been politicized.
Trust it.
You know, even politicized the deaths of people who we went in there personally and said to them, look here, many of them move. You have to move. This is coming on a king tide, 19 to 20 feet high. This is going to sweep containers right across the mud and the pee. You have to move now, you know, and still people.
But on both sides, on both sides, we do it. I mean, let's be clear. We
do that.
On both sides, you know, Mr. Christie gets faced with wacky and things happen, criticism on political ground.
But appreciate the hypocrisy. Of saying in the Bahamas that the government should have done better with Dorian and COVID, and then go to the international community where you seek funding, and say we were not able to do certain things because of these two very catastrophic and close following events.
We have a call on the line, Senator. Let me take that. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, to Mr. Enfield. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm having fun listening to you all too, you know what I mean? Mr. Enfield, you know, the thing is, I heard you said something. I was just listening to the conversation for the past, like, maybe 10 minutes or so. And you said the mandatory evacuation, right? Now, whilst I don't have a problem with that, unless there's some type of simulation, let's say people who live in the real vulnerable communities, and we must use historical facts and data to justify such means, because I really don't believe in that. I mean, you know, people who live in those vulnerable communities, like those marshlands, that can close to the coastal regions, and they have, you know, the storm surge, according to the pressure that's in the eye, right? It determines the storm surge, right? So you'll be able to say, according to this amount of pressure, the storm surge will be this high. They predict that. Then people are forewarning of what the surge will be. And then those people are, we saw what happened during Dorian in those low-lying areas in Abaco and places like Freeport. I mean, you and Mr. Lang could relate to that better than me, right? Because I heard Lang say he suffered some damage. But what I'm saying is, what I'm realizing is, in the people in the inner city, right? I don't know, because the houses are together closer. They fare better than people in the coastal regions. Like when you notice much on people in the coastal regions and the surges, effect from the surges is more. So maybe it might be necessary, but I don't think straight across the board, because given the stories, and then the government would have to really put the infrastructure there for these mass evacuations, et cetera, et cetera. I would fare better at home, you know what I mean? That's the way I feel. I mean, for me, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? Bless up. I'll just hang up and listen.
Thank you very much. Let me do this, Senator, before I go on. So this texter says, Mr. Lang, an independent audit was hired by this administration to audit the feeding program, and there was no malfeasance found as reported by the auditor. It was published in one of the dailies a few years ago. Actually, in point of fact, correcting myself, the Davis administration did produce an audit report of the $53 million that was spent in the feeding program. They did, and Prime Minister Davis tabled that report in May of 2022. And in fact, the auditors found some 18 categories of major deficiencies in the program, according to a report that I am reading, okay? So there was, in fact, a audit done. What followed up that to, inform how it is things are done in the future, I do not know. But correcting myself, there was a audit report done.
Whenever we have, and you know this better than I do, being a former minister, really, really deeply involved, and an economist, very deeply involved with finances and the economy of the Bahamas, whenever you have large sums of money that has to move across many divides, the administrative or otherwise, that will occur. And so we must be honest, intellectually honest about these things. You know, we're not going to seek as an FNM party to hide wrongdoing. We just don't believe that the wrongdoing was in the measure that's touted, in the measure that was touted by the Prime Minister. Remember when he came to the House of Assembly and he was talking in the billions, eh? What was it initially? That he didn't know what happened to it.
Yeah. It was about $1 billion.
And I found that incredulous.
Mm-hmm.
I found that incredulous, man. That someone with that level of responsibility would make such statements that impacted people with credibility in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was wrongly done.
There's no question there was a lot political about the way it was handled in the end. Again, you know, somebody's sending a text that I think is insightful enough. Said, you know, I've always found interesting that the Auditor General's report on the food program never came out, that the Auditor General has since retired and a new one appointed, but the report from the Auditor General never came out.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
telling. Yeah. But it's always telling. See, let me tell you something. Listen, man, listen. If you are somebody familiar with politics, if your opponent can find on you things that demonstrate your incompetence or your corruption, etc., there ain't no question what they can do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So FNM comes in claiming the PLP was corrupt and don't after that say nothing. Well, what you know is they were just talking nonsense when they was out. When the PLP comes in and talk about corruption and this one and the next one, and then when they come in, nothing happens. All you know is they was talking nonsense when they were out. When they say, oh, this law was a terrible law. The international persons land holding act was terrible. The Ingram administration replaced the Immovable Properties Act that protected them. In international persons stay there. All the financial legislation, all unconstitutional, boom, boom, boom. Come in office, nothing happened, right? Minister raising VAT is a lazy way to raise taxes. He come in and raise VAT.
First thing we did.
Talking nonsense.
Yeah.
The first thing y'all did was he came in and he said, y'all said that the spy act, the spy bill that the PLP was trying to pass, you didn't agree with it. That was the first bill he passed.
Yeah, you know, I've been a military officer with a master's degree in security studies. I seconded that bill.
Exactly. We got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Very nice show, Mr. Lang, and good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, sir.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Lang, I appreciate you clearing up right at the onset because I've been reading exactly that. But I have two questions, and I hope you can answer them both. The hotel and the airport, would it have been a better deal to try and combine them both in a sales agreement, or that might not have been a feasible approach?
Well, they're not in a sales agreement because we're not selling the airport. The airport is now owned by the government of the Bahamas. It's in the development of it, and we don't know what's in this proposal yet, so we'll have to see tomorrow. It may well be that the airport is in it.
Okay, now, next question is this. Oftentimes, I've heard that participating in, you know, in this election process, we are choosing the better of two evils. This has been the phrase going around. And when you really look at it, there seems to be a trait of evilness running through all these political parties. And I'm wondering, as a Christian, how do you justify, or what message are you sending to God when you are participating in a Lucifer experiment every 5 years?
Well, first of all, you and some other people say they choosing the lesser of two evils. That's what you and some people play. Because if I had to choose the lesser of two evils, because that's like asking me if you want this poop or that poop. I don't want no poop at all. So mm-hmm. I will eat, stay hungry until I could find food to eat. I do not believe that our parties are evil. I don't believe that. That is absolute nonsense to me. I'm not talking to nobody else.
Okay.
So what I think we choose is the one we believe is best versus the one we believe is not. And
okay.
that's how I get to vote, and my conscience is clear.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. We have this text here, says Mr. Lang. This person feelings hurt. They are cussing me. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break and continue our conversation with Senator the Honorable Darren Enfield.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable loans. Today, call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Are you ready to elevate your day with a burst of flavor? Look no further than Dunkin'. Your ultimate destination for everything delicious. From our freshly brewed coffee that is sure to pick you up, to our signature frozen beverages that will cool you down. And don't forget our mouth-watering sandwiches made to order all day. Dunkin' has it all. And of course, our lineup of fresh donuts, muffins, and more. Dive into a world of yummy flavors at Dunkin' and bring joy to your day. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Get ready for the pre-Mother's Day sale at Conan Bahamas, April 16th to May 16th. 35% off everything in the store except the AC units. Enhance your home with beautiful new cabinetry, granite or quartz countertops, PVC and hurricane impact windows, beautiful porcelain tiles, vinyl or laminate flooring. It's a 35% off pre-Mother's Day sale at Conan Bahamas. All locations, Freeport, Nassau, Abaco, and Eleuthera. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and 300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm here speaking with Senator the Honorable Darren Enfield, FNM Senator. And we've been talking about any number of issues confronting the nation and his party. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, this is a compliment. I saw you on the rundown last night with Clint Watson. Mr. Lang, you still look the same. You ain't age, bro. Look 21. God bless you. I thank you. I wish I felt 21. I wish I did. Says, no, first thing they did was went on vacation. So that's what they did? Senator, is the Free National Movement divided?
We have been working with us leadership to cause a coalescing of the party since the last elections. I would not say that we are divided. I would say, like every other political party, we have issues that we have to deal with. Hence, we had the comment from Dame Bostwick, and on the other day we had the comments from former Prime Minister Ingram in his own inimitable way, gave us a charge, I thought, to get ourselves together and get ready to fight as a government in Beijing to rescue the Bahamian people once more, as was done in 1992 and as we've done but two or three times since then. And Michael Pintard is firmly the leader so elected twice by the highest body and convention. He has done much work to, and I know, you know, people say, oh, it sounds sycophantic, but we have been working hard. He has been working very hard to pick a party up off of its back after such a devastating defeat. It's no easy task, right? FNMs, in my mind, I've seen this more and more than one iteration of voting, when they're unhappy with their governments, with their administrations, they don't vote. The others will vote despite what is going on, obvious in their administrations. And so, no, I think we have some work to do.
But you have been fighting. You have been fighting. You have been fighting amongst yourselves. There is a decided menace faction, group of people mm-hmm. who support the former prime minister and former leader of the Free National Movement, who are vocally and active opposed to Michael Pintard.
Let me put it this way: if there is a strategy to sow discord, and then capitalize on the discord by saying that you're not leading, or you can't coalesce, you can't come together, you can't form the next government of Bahamas, then you know it's an uphill battle, but it is as one of my colleagues used to say, a fixed fight. If you're going to have your cake and eat it too, all FNMs, who are FNMs, should be working right now to prepare the FNM to govern the Bahamas, because God knows we can no longer stand another 5 years of this government that we have in place.
This text says, during the election, I was given a choice to use Dr. Minnis or Mr. Davis. So come with a choice like that. I had to go with Mr. Davis, who presented a list of stuff they intended to do during the 5 years. So it only makes sense for me to allow them to do what we agreed for them to do. I'm not sure what that was intended to do, but this text is Mr. Hanfield looking to run in the next election? And if he does, he understands to be a good politician, you have to be a good MP. You all of a sudden, all the old Menace PLP, all the old Menace people want support. Pintard?
Well, firstly, I was elected a member of the Free National Movement. I happened to be in the cabinet, which was led by Dr. Menace as the leader. Michael Pintard is now the leader of the Free National Movement. And since that time, I have been with him 150%, doing all that I can to ensure that he becomes the next leader of the Free National, the next leader of this country.
This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. As a swing voter, I would feedback on why I chose to vote against the FNM last election. The three primary reasons I was not happy with the Menace administration was, one, despite the challenges of COVID and Dorian, I felt that the Freedom of Information Bill could have been moved forward. That doesn't take much money to do. Two, during COVID, Menace talked about capital projects to create jobs. They decided to do sidewalks. I would have thought completing what is now the Obadiah Wilchcombe building and the school in Holmes Rock would have been better use of those funds. Three, the Toby Smith matter, I thought it would have been great for the Menace administration to be seen as a government that supports the smaller businessmen. I come from an FNM house, and I have voted for the FNM 2 out of 4 times I voted. I am now waiting to see what are the main issues FNM will be running on.
Well, I can't argue with the sentiments of that, mm-hmm. that voter expressed so eloquently. Mm-hmm. But I want to say this: the FNM is under a new leadership, and under new leadership, we will do a lot of things differently. We don't believe in this group that we have the sole right to go and make decisions on behalf of Bahamians without consulting them. We believe that Bahamians must be empowered We believe that crime must be brought under control. We believe that healthcare must be taken seriously in the Bahamas for all Bahamians, not only those with money, but those who don't have the means. Because if you can't find the means to take care of your health, you can very easily die in this country. We believe that we can do some things to address it in the first iteration of our last administration, where SBCD, we gave a lot of grants for people to develop and create small businesses. We believe that there must be a participatory development in our economy, where Bahamians, you know, even when we sold shares as a free national movement, even when we sold Batelco or developed the Arawak APD, I was able as a young Marine to get through pay deductions, a small piece of share in APD. We must make these things available for Bahamians to be able to do so, to participate in their own patrimony. We don't know what's going to happen with BPL. That is still out there. We have not seen any prospectus for Bahamians to be able to participate. If there was one, I missed that. And so we will listen to you. We will be governed accordingly.
We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I was calling because I heard the comment that you made about VAT, and I just wanted to get some clarification. Mm. Before the 2017 election, if I remember correctly, it was said that VAT was going to start off at 15%, correct?
Before the 2017 election?
Yeah, when the last term that Perry Christie was in. Because it was the PLP that introduced that.
Yeah, that was introduced in 2005, though.
Right, but when they actually agreed to implement it, mm-hmm. it was supposed to be 15%.
No. What they had indicated was the paper that mm-hmm. proposed it had a 15% proposal in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And because of the backlash of, oh, my God, 15%, that's too much, they mm-hmm. lowered it to 7.5%.
Right.
With the knowledge that it will increase in increments. So, and it didn't matter which government had won, so that the following government, whoever won, that the VAT was going to go up.
No, that was not true. That's not true. That's not what was happening, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay, so what... Hello.
Hi. Yeah, there was never a fait accompli that VAT would be 15%, because the proposition that VAT would have been 15%. Can I tell you this? The
mm-hmm.
the draft VAT paper was drafted by Shivago, Sean Lang,
okay.
and those in the then Ingram administration, and what our proposition was that as VAT was 15% and around the world. Mm-hmm. We would have had a 15% VAT, but we would have significantly reduced custom duties.
Okay.
So that the compensating factor for the revenue would have, and for the people would have been that you lowered the duties and you had VAT at 15%. Since the duties were never lowered in tandem with VAT, the intent by the Christie administration and those was never to take it to 15% just as an automatic fait accompli. That was never the case.
Okay, so it was never supposed to increase at all. It was just supposed to stay at the 7.5.
No, it's not even a question of whether it's supposed to or not supposed to increase. What happened with VAT was always a matter of decision by an administration. Always.
Okay.
Because right. because
that
you have because you have an administration.
I just wanted to understand because
yeah.
you made the comment that. Minister said that it was an easy, that was an
it was a lazy means of raising
yes,
revenue,
he did
yes.
say that. Mm-hmm. But then he also said that he would repeal it. Did he not do that? Even though he increased it, okay, and you said it was his decision, he didn't have to. But did he not repeal it by taking that off of breadbasket items?
Well, no, he didn't repeal it. He raised VAT.
Mm-hmm.
He raised VAT to 10%, was it? No, 12%. 12%, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He raised the VAT to 12%. He did take it off of breadbasket items, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
which no, I'm not complaining about, et cetera. That's a great thing to do, I think. But the point and factor was that after he did it, I mean, the government of the Bahamas was taking out almost $600-700 million in VAT on an annual basis. So it wasn't a revenue and net losing proposition for the government, what he did. It was a net winning proposition in terms of revenue for the government, and that meant taxation on the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know I heard the comment you said you made it seem as if what he did by increasing it, that it was a bad thing.
Well, it wasn't a question of his increasing being good or bad. Government's tax. That's not good or bad.
Exactly.
No,
I agree.
But this is what he did. No, but you don't get to, not you, Aunt Mom. I mean,
I know.
You don't get to say it's a lazy way to do something and then you turn around and do it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my point. Right?
Okay. Don't you agree, as a person who've actually sat in those chairs, there are a lot of things that we could say until you actually get to the table.
Except I agree with you. It is true, but that's why I think we have a greater responsibility to take really great caution what we say when we are even, especially in opposition. Mm-hmm. I can tell you now, sometimes when I have conversations with these same gentlemen you see I'm talking to, I tell them, I said, be careful what you say while you are out of office, because
correct.
You will come up to against constraints that will cause people to lose faith in you and in the institution, because you are no longer delivering on the things you told them you'd do.
Correct. And it's just based on, they made a lot of those statements based on the knowledge that they
that's
knew.
Right. That's right.
Outside.
That is right.
Of being in government.
That's right.
You're
okay. Absolutely
just
right.
Wanted to get a clarification.
I appreciate you very much. Thanks,
thank
Matt.
You.
Okay. Senator?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The party does have these internal challenges, and I think what elevates the challenge is that a leader, a former prime minister, and a sitting member of parliament, and I think that elevates it, no?
Yeah, we have been, you know. Let me just say this emphatically: the Free National Movement is not divided.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like any other family, we have issues that families have,
mm.
Right? And you're coming towards now where you're going to select candidates, and obviously everybody's not going to be happy. That happened in your day.
Do you think you guys are slow in that process at the moment? I mean, or you just, or you think?
I don't think so. I think we're doing our due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
We're just winding up. I think if we've not done so, the interviews of candidates. And I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but we're going to have to vet everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this process ought not to be rushed.
Right.
And I'm not going to be rushed by anybody. You know, I am not the leader. I don't speak for the leader.
Right.
But I think the leader has sufficiently spoken that we're going to do this the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get any do-overs in this thing.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And so we listen, we hear the critics. We hear them, you know, on these shows, there is shows talking about how divided we are, how we can't do this and how we can't do that, you know. But we don't agree with them.
Hmm.
We respect everybody's political point of view,
hmm.
but we don't agree with them. The FNM is a party in this country. I saw a member of parliament who said that he's no longer offering himself for office, that he's going to go away and take, I guess, his sabbatical for 5 years and come back and be prime minister.
I was wondering why you being cute, Mr. Silvano.
I found that amazing.
Yeah.
I also saw, when people talk about the division of the FNM, you know, I also saw a full page ad in one of our dailies for one of the ministers to become, who is not now the deputy prime minister of the Bahamas, to become the deputy prime minister in this administration, in the PLP administration.
And you saw an ad?
Yeah, I saw an ad one time.
Okay.
It's one odd one time.
We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Comrade Lang. How are you?
I'm right here, man. What's going on?
Wonderful, and good afternoon to Mr. Henfield. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you. I'm well.
Very good, very good. Mr. Henfield, I can keep it short.
Yes, sir.
The first time we believed, trusted, and followed you, I was there. I followed you, right? But my Grammy said to always say to me, if you fool me once, then mm-hmm. you're the fool. And if you fool me twice, then I'm the fool. I'm going to hang up and listen to your response. Why should I believe?
No, don't hang up yet. I know this is Chivago's show, but this is Chivago's show. Don't hang up yet, but I think you're confusing me with another Enfield. My name is Darren Enfield. That is my name, not Renard Enfield.
Oh, okay. That's the other one.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, I apologize.
No problem, sir. I understand. I get that.
We got you, brother. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang and Senator Henfield. Great show. I pray that the FNM gets everything together, and I wish that the best for us. I always appreciate good information. We must get rid of the PLP. They are not transparent at all. They want, no matter how the people complain, continue the great work. Mr. Lang says that texter. This text, let me read this, please. It says, I am very inspired and impressed by Senator Henfield's comments and response on your show today, says that texter. This text says, tell Minnis people to educate themselves before calling your show talking foolishness. The FNM party is not divided, says that texter. This text says, good day, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Let Mr. Henfield know that the party was saying these same great things about Mr. Minnis last election that they are saying about Mr. Pintard. And when Mr. Minnis started going in the wrong direction, most of them said nothing, and that contributed to them getting voted out. Please don't make the same mistake again.
Okay.
We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon to my two political brothers and mentors. This is Mandel Darren and
Mr.
Lang.
How you doing?
It's a pleasure always, like I say to you, Mr. Lang, to be a student of you via the airways. And being able to work in the party with someone like Darren, Mr. Enfield, I consider it a distinguished pleasure. And I just wanted to call in because, in what you're doing, but more so just to be a voice even to our country, to know that the FNM is poised and ready, in my opinion. And just being a place where I can come from, where I've been able to come from, and find a place in my party to make a difference in my country. Like I've seen people like Mr. Lang, Mr. Vernon Simonet, and many great others that have gone on before me. And so I thank you, both you men and many others that have come along the way, for the stellar example that you guys are in leadership for our country, for the generations of us to come. And so just wanted to call and salute both of y'all, who I consider political colleagues and brothers, mentors.
We appreciate you.
I'm looking forward to our conversation, Mr. Lang.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you calling anytime. All right.
No problem, sir.
By the way, I tell young people, any young person interested in political life and public life, and you think that I can be helpful to you, please give me a call. I don't give you FNM, PLP, COI, DNA is all good. I'm here to serve. All right? And so I'm happy.
I haven't forgotten the conversations we had whilst I even sat as a minister. With the help you've always offered readily, because, you know, I believe you are a nationalist for the Bahamas. You happen to be aligned politically, as you have a right to do, but you only want the best for the Bahamas, and that's why most of us come to politics, because we want to see a better Bahamas. I believe this new generation of FNM leaders appreciate the sacrifices made in the past, Cecil's time, up to now, up to present. And we have a commitment to uphold the virtues and values of transparency, of integrity and accountability. And we will settle for no less than that. And so we believe that we have an opportunity, and we're not that young anymore. And we're not looking for gratuitous support. We're looking for support based on the merits, based on the policies that we offer, and based on our abilities, we believe, to bring the Bahamian people along to a better state than we currently find ourselves under this administration, where there is no trust. There's even skepticism when they say that they're going to sell something, because we've heard it all before. We pray and hope for the best, but we've heard it all before.
We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Chivago, and to Mr. Enfield. You know, having announced that I'll be offering in the next general election for the great constituency of St. Anne's, I had a few questions.
I have 2 minutes, Graham. I'll keep it brief.
The VAT, was it for the national debt, principal, interest, or was it to use to run the country? You can answer when I hang up.
That's a question for the implementers, and that was Mr. Christie's administration. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if it were to go on the debt, my next question is how much went on the debt?
Mm.
But let's move on. I want everybody to vote somebody in this election and not just vote somebody out. In other words, I have a question. Why did we put 12% on healthy organic food for our citizens? And can we go back to Egypt and live with 12% on our entire life? How do we get rid of VAT on the Bahamians? I just saw in the paper we're not going to tax the cruise ship, the VAT or something to that effect.
Right.
Why wouldn't we tax 9 million ticket sales instead of 300,000 people's grocery?
Bygone. Yeah, thanks, man. Okay. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang and Senator Hanfield. I am fired up to hear Senator Hanfield on the show today. Continue to hold high the torch, sir. I am truly inspired. Says that, Senator, we got 1 minute. Final words.
Final word is that the Free National Movement is the constitutional party standing in line to govern the Bahamas. We are prepared to govern. We are a new generation of Bahamian leaders who will listen to you. We will take your advice accordingly. We believe that the Bahamas is in a place now where Bahamians must benefit from its patrimony, where Bahamians must be a part of what is going on all across this country and its development and in its economic growth that we see coming our way in the future. I thank you, Mr. Lang, for this opportunity. And God bless you, and may God continue to bless the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you for coming on, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us. God spares life. We'll be with you again tomorrow. We missed an interview we should have had today with the Road Traffic Education Association. Should have been on today. We missed them. We'll do them tomorrow. Okay? Very important. We want to get to hear from them. Y'all have a great evening.
Thank you, sir. Good evening.